Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One Rehappa podcast for episode 8, season 2 of Are You the One. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me is my co-host, Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Brian. Ready to get into it, as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get into everything that happened this episode. But first, I just wanted to send a quick reminder that if you want to hear everything else that's going on in the Rob as a Podcast planet, you can head on over to iTunes and download the Rob as a Podcast app, or just go to robhasawebsite.com/app. Or, of course, if you just like us, which is perfectly fine, we're pretty awesome, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/challengeiTunes to subscribe to our podcast. But enough about that. We are here to talk about episode 8, Are You the One? And it was a big episode. I think after the high of last week, things kind of came crashing down around them for this week.
Yes, and I'm excited to get into it, but we have a little bit of business to get take care of from last week. A couple corrections. We haven't had corrections in a while. We've been doing better. But I accused you of having said that Dario is wearing lipstick. I did not get that from you. I actually got that from fellow Rehab Up host Haley Strong. She tweeted me that Dario was wearing a very nice sheet of lipstick, and that wasn't you. So sorry. Correction to Brian.
I took it as a compliment, personally.
But it is true. Okay. And then we have a monster correction that we've been maybe misstating every single episode that we've done this, including the preview, that you don't really know about, Brian. So buckle up.
Oh, boy.
I had a conversation with Tyler of Gwee's fam this week. Lucky enough to be contacted by her on Twitter. And I'm going to share some excerpts from the conversation. And I just want to say, I'm assuming this is her real Twitter. This isn't verified. This could be a parody account, but I think it's the real deal.
No blue check mark yet.
Unclear. She does have a ton of followers, to her credit.
Which is very, that's a whole other topic.
So if you recall, a while ago, we were both talking about our interaction with her on Twitter, and she has like direct messaged me a couple like random things where I thought it was just like being spammed by her Twitter. And then she just wrote LOL. And I just said, you know what? Let me bite this time. And I sent back a question mark. And she sends back in all caps, Gwee's.
And oh, I'm shot like, heard around the world.
Jackpot. I'm so excited. Like, yes, let's talk Gwee's. I texted Brian at this point and was like, maybe we could get her on the podcast to tell us more about Gwee's. Like, this has become our mascot. We love it. So I said, haha, yes, we love Gwee's. And then she sent me a picture of her legitimate business filing for Growing United in Creative Endeavors, which is the acronym. And she said, yes, I do too. That's why I stated my company last year. As you can see, a 20-year-old owning her own business is funny. Ha 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 ha. So it clearly took a turn. And she doesn't think this is so funny. And that's fair. I mean, look, it's a real bit. I said, you know what? Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's do some real journalism here. And we've been laughing about it. We gleaned what we could from the website. But now I have the opportunity to get it from the horse's mouth. So I say, oh, we didn't mean to offend you, blah, blah, blah. I know we'd both love to know more because I talked about, I speak for Brian now. So I know we'd both love to know more about what you guys do with Gwee's. And then she says, like, oh, I've listened to you and Brian cracking jokes about the name. Now you know what it is. Please inform him as well. So, ooh. Brian, consider yourself informed. So I say, to clarify, we knew it was a business from the website, but I still don't think we know what it is. What do you guys do? We'd be happy to clear it up. You know,
biggest question.
She says, you should have cleared it up before you guys brought it up on the show. Not professional. LOL. It's okay. I understand you don't know anything about me. Boom. Roasted. Ooh. From Tyler.
Whoa. Hello.
And as you know, we're press. So yeah. Don't call us unprofessional. So I said, and then I got a little too real. I said, we can only go off of what you present to the public. It's what you invite by going on a TV show and having a website. It's nothing personal. But what is Gwee's? Because I'm not stopping. I need to know what this is.
I still need to know.
This might be my last opportunity to ever talk to her. She goes, I'm sorry. Have I ever spoken about Gwee's? And then here's the bomb. Or I said, it's publicly available on the internet. Okay. And it's like juice, but with a G.
Whoa!
It is pronounced juice!
No! Really?
Guys, I'm sorry. The number one correction that we will ever correct probably on this podcast is that Gwee's is pronounced Juice.
No, I'm sorry. I'm rebranding them. That's ridiculous. It should not be pronounced juice. There's already a word for juice. It's juice. This could be their own word.
So then, I'm getting a little frustrated.
Just hire me as the head of this company already. Oh my God.
I get a little frustrated now because, first of all, I got what I came for, you know? Like, I found that the juice is juice and not guise, so we can wrap up. But I take one more shot. I'm like, look, I'm not going to go back and forth. I feel like I'm asking a simple question about what you do with your business, and I'd be happy to share the legitimate stuff you're working on with our audience. If you don't want me to do that, that's totally fine. I'll just say you didn't want to talk about it. She says, growing united in creative endeavors. And I said,
which obviously explains exactly what the business is.
And then she says, it's not something I'm working on. It's a company that I own. That's all. If you want to know what I do, then that's different. So I'm thinking, maybe we've just had a misunderstanding. So I say, sorry, maybe there was a miscommunication. What does your business do? I understand that it's a legitimate business. And she then lists a myriad of things, from co-hosting a TV show in Boston to doing social media hosting. She interviews artists such as Big Sean and Waka Flocka, and she takes acting classes in Boston. So I said, is that related to Guise? And she said, no, it's not related to Guise. And
so what's
and I said, no one's doubting that you're busy and successful. We just want to know what your business does. And I never heard from her again.
Wow.
The mystery of juice lives on.
How is it pronounced? Oh, this is so devastating to me. How is it juice?
I do want to say that I then replied to my own reply that didn't get an answer, basically thanking her for taking the time to direct message me, and that I will share the business filing and the rest of this with the audience. And if anyone's interested in more information, you can ask her directly. That's what I said. And that's, I think, maybe the last conversation I will ever have with Tyler Abron.
I think that's leading that way. Oh, this is actually like, this is kind of, this kind of hurts.
Don't you feel like so unsettled and just, what is Guise? What is juice?
It just needs its own Wikipedia page for one of like the lost mysteries of our time.
So I'm sorry. I couldn't get it done, guys. I thought I had the opening. I was going to come back to hero.
No,
here's what juice is.
You dug deep. You dug deep. I'll give you credit for that.
Thank you, Jeff Probst.
Yeah. I don't know, because we're like the biggest marketing team this company has ever had. Like, we've driven so much traffic to this website, probably.
Maybe that's a
or
problem.
Maybe just from me. I don't know. But
maybe that's, I don't think she heard, and I don't blame her, you know, she has a lot of stuff going on. I don't think she heard where we initially talked about Guise, or where you initially talked about Guise and I had a laugh attack. I think she heard this because this came after our Brianna interview.
Okay.
And so I think she only heard us like laughing about juice then. Anyway, so that's it.
That's
from
juice.
That's all the corrections I have, and hopefully
I'll never have. I'll never call it juice. I just probably won't bring it up again, but I'll definitely never call it juice.
So Getting to the actual episode.
Right.
My first thought was, wow, Ellie looks good in this sexy Beetlejuice number she has on. Why didn't I notice this last week? Did you notice this dress?
I don't know if I specifically noticed the dress, but I do thought we said that she looked pretty good last week. Was that
was 2 weeks ago when she was in a tie-dye shirt, but we said her makeup and face looks good.
Maybe. Well, she looks good.
I like that dress. Keep it coming.
Yeah. I don't know the style choices, but it seemed pretty good. I don't know. But yeah, everyone seemed pretty happy after coming back to the house with six lights. I remember we talked about this in the preseason with Ellie in her Twitter bio having the chilling on the balcony getting fucking lit. Is that like from something, or is that Ellie's own quote? Because they were like toasting to that.
So there was a deleted scene where they were literally chilling on the balcony getting fucking lit. They were just like drinking, and I think that's where Jasmine's rap battle scene comes in. This is when Jasmine,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
She like tipped us off on the deleted scene. So that's become like a house inside joke. And I guess MTV was like, we could shorten this to 2 seconds and not explain it. No problem. And that's kind of fair.
Because I remember that was one of like the original things of why I was fell in love with Ellie in the preseason, was that quote in her Twitter bio, and the fact that her Twitter name was What a Fox with a lot of different letters. So
everything about Ellie just comes together. Like, that was something that I was like, that makes no sense in your Twitter bio, but now I see it was a reference to Are You the One. Everything comes together. It all makes sense. She's perfect.
Yeah. And then we get a sense of the honeymoon suite with John and Jenny, who actually didn't mind seeing together. I thought they were really cute together.
No, there are definitely a couple that I think we talked about this last week that like got better when they were together than they were apart. I did purposely try to pay attention to the honeymoon suites this time because you've asked me a couple times and I've both times been like, I wasn't watching. Sorry. This totally looks different though than anything we've seen. It's like if you actually like each other, you get this private bungalow.
Maybe.
With your own pool. Yeah, so you don't have to go to the resort.
Yeah, and he had his guitar that he... Remember, he's in a cover band. We covered that too. A lot of people don't know that. John's in a cover band.
I did think of that and was like, why does he have a guitar? Does he actually play it? And then I remembered he's in a cover band.
90s cover band artist.
One thing I thought was really cool is that John seemed like so much more comfortable in this scene than like, I mean, literally, because he was in like boxers and a shirt that was open with socks and shoes on. So I guess that's his outfit of choice in Paradise. But like, I don't know, he just seemed so much more natural with the pressure off. And I think like he got a little too squirmy going, like dealing with all of this, like fighting over girls and all right. of this. And now that he's like with Jenny, secluded, like they did what they came to do. And like, I just like this John much better.
Yeah, it has to just be such a load off your back when you actually find the person that you're quote unquote supposed to be with. And then you truly can just get to know them and hang out and have fun and not have to deal with the stress of maybe Leighton's going to try to get back with her or Anthony's going to try to get back with her. Now it's just like you're on your own and you can just chill, and that it has to make it so much easier.
Did you watch the deleted scene this week?
Not yet.
Okay, so there's one about Anthony like missing Jenny, and my phone only let me see 2 seconds of it. So call Apple, their fault, or Verizon. And but it, just in general, it made me think of like Jenny doesn't seem affected by the Anthony thing at all.
Yeah, Jenny seems pretty happy with the way things worked out. She's like, you know, when you zoom out and you see me and John together, it all makes sense. Which, I mean, I guess it's easy to say that in retrospect, the fact that you're now with John. But, I mean, she seems pretty content with how the show played out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame her. I think it just all started from a huge mess where Leighton was probably her initial attraction. And then she went to Anthony in a moment of, like, playing games with Leighton. Mm-hmm. And then started to kind of develop feelings for Anthony. But I don't know that Anthony was ever, like, her front runner or someone she even really saw as an option. Like, I just always kind of got the feeling that she was, like, trying to like Anthony maybe, or trying to see him as more of a viable option than he really could be for her. Mm-hmm. So I want to see that deleted scene and see if Anthony's struggling. But I think it's interesting that she kind of seems like she's been a free agent until now.
Yeah. And then speaking of struggling, we get Leighton. His first interaction with Ashley for the night, which never, it's the whole episode for him, but it continues to go bad. But this one, he starts off by saying basically that he thinks they're a match because they have very similar upbringings with their thoughts on marriage and religion, which I think does kind of makes sense, but it just seems clear. Every conversation that Leighton and Ashley have together, it just feels forced and uncomfortable for Ashley.
It would be one thing if he said, my views are the same as your views. But he says, my mom was a virgin till marriage. My sister was a virgin till 25 in marriage. And you're a virgin. So perfect. Like, he doesn't express his values. Or he's been sleeping with Jess the whole show.
Yeah.
And she says that. She calls him out and says, like, you keep chasing the hottest girls in the house. And then he says, it's over. But it's not by choice. Like, he does the worst pitches ever. And what one thing that's interesting to me about Leighton, and by interesting, I mean horrific, is that he constantly is trying to build himself up by putting down the guy that he's in competition with. Like, oh, Anthony's the worst guy in the house. Like, oh, Dario is pursuing you. I think he says that later. Yeah. Like, he wastes his time, and I've said this before, he wastes his time talking about the other guys that the girls are interested in and not about making a genuine connection. Like, he just goes right for the pitch, and rather than spending his 20 minutes to actually get to know her, and then she will connect with you, and then you won't need to fight Dario and Anthony to get the girl that you like.
That's pretty clear. But it's almost like doesn't really care about having the girl like him. It's just more of having the girl like the other guy less. You know, like he's just trying to win. Like, he's not trying to actually find the relationship. It just seems like he's just trying to win with every girl that he's going after. And that's not the way that Leighton seen the way in the beginning or the way he's trying to portray himself, but that's definitely the way it seems with him.
Well, it's like Brandon Bryce on Twitter tweeted us, why does he always, he being Leighton, need to tear down the other guys to make himself look better in girls' eyes? And that's exactly what you're talking about. And I want to know, like, I'm curious from Jenny and Ashley, like, did they actually form genuine connections with him, or was all, were all of their conversations, we're a match because of this, I know it because of this, he sucks because of this? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's something hopefully they'll touch on in the reunion, because we didn't get a good sense of it throughout the season, unfortunately.
Oh, I tweeted this, but I want to see Jess lay into Leighton. Like, yeah. I want to see Jess go crazy eyes on him.
She can definitely do it.
Well, one thing I want to point out is, I don't know if you listened to or bought the 49 Laws of Survivor from robhaswebsite.com.
Of course I did.
So one of the things that they talk about, and they talk about this on the podcast too, is that it's like one of the rules is, or the laws of power is, you don't come to somebody saying like, oh, this is, you owe me, or like, you're supposed to pitch it like, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. And Leighton approaches these girls like they have some interest in being interested in him. Ashley is super fine and happy with Dario. Jenny is super fine and happy with Anthony. You come to the table with what you offer, not with what they can offer you. They have no motivation to help you or save you in this game or make a connection with you. So Leighton needs to listen to Robin Stevens' 49 Laws of Survivor. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. And I mean, before we get to the Nate and Christina stuff, a little bit soon after, we saw Ashley and Dario talking, and it's just clear that Ashley's just so much more relaxed and just having like a natural conversation with him. Whatever they're talking, it just feels what the way it should be when you're talking to who is supposed to be your perfect match, not him jamming something down your throat about the way you're supposed to be thinking or feeling. And that's the way it should be with Dario, not with Leighton.
Totally agree. Yeah, and in I was going to say we can move to Nate and Christina with like a gender role reversal, but I need to stop just totally abusing Nate in these podcasts.
Yeah, Nate's had a run deal, not just from the show, but from his. I actually felt kind of bad a little bit for Nate throughout this episode. I kind of fell for him a little bit, but yeah, so Nate, with Christina, Christina wants someone who's affectionate, and Nate can obviously do that, and they kiss, and Ellie's starting to get, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, once you think you might be finding your double match, you have to play defense, and that's kind of what Ellie's doing, thinking that Nate could be the double match, going after him.
I'm about to get what I want from these beaches.
I guess your Ellie impression has improved drastically since the first episode. I'm not even going to try to do well, because mine won't be nearly as good, but that was really good.
These beaches. No, that was a weird moment, because it seems like it's one thing when you're playing a party game or they're all drunk or they're all like whatever. It's like Nate and Christina have this like quote unquote like relationship, right? Like there's a difference between people hooking up and people being in like a couple in the house. And we're led to believe that Christina and Nate are in like sort of a couple. And they're when they're making out, it's not like a part of a game. Like they're making out to be cute in front of everyone, but they also make out in private in like a more romantic way. This is me like using eighth grade terms to talk about things. But Ellie comes up and is like, where do you want me to kiss you? I don't know if there was something going on that we didn't see. He says anywhere you want. She kisses him on that. And I expected him to just kind of like keep his mouth closed, like peck, like my girl's literally still touching me. And I'm now making out with her, one of her friends. And he's going full force. You see his like tongue come out of his mouth like a anteater. And apparently that was a good kiss for Ellie. But like he's full force, full fledged into it. And that, I don't know if that surprised you, but that totally surprised me.
And Christina was into it too. So it's not even like think about this. If this was episode 2 before they found out they weren't a perfect match and someone else kissed Christina, would Brandon have been like laughing and cheering on? No, he would have probably punched the guy in the face. So it just shows that Christina and Nate, whatever they were, well, obviously gets this later on, but Nate saying that they're a stronger bond or whatever, like, that's clearly not the case. Because obviously, if that was the case, Christina would have been flipping out that someone else was making out with Nate, even if it is one of her good friends.
I totally agree about like Nathan and her not being nearly as strong as Brandon would have flipped out. But I don't know that I read Christina's like little giggle and cheer as like genuine being into it. I think she was put in like a really weird situation and is probably drunk and trying to go with the tone of the house and was like, woohoo. But I don't think she was pleased. I mean, I could see that being like the cool girl response to just kind of cheer it on and hope it stops. But I don't know that she was like actually, she was no Brianna when Dario and Ashley were making out.
But yeah, so then we get the competition, right?
Well, one last thing I want to complain about, because sure, this stuff really bothers me, is like just how Leighton shouldn't bring Dario up with Ashley. We get Ashley bringing Leighton up with Dario. Why does Ashley go to Dario and tell him what's going on with Leighton? Oh, I think Leighton may be my match. Oh, we have all this in common.
You know what it is? I think they're in the house with basically nothing to do, and their entire lives are what is going on in this house. At some point, you run out of things to talk about, and all you're thinking about is what's going on with now Leighton. So she's just going to start talking to anyone and anyone, even if it's Dario. Like, what? At some point, you're going to talk about this because there's nothing else to talk about.
When you're in a relationship with someone, and just like everyone has a relationship, Dario and Ashley have some sort of relationship. You know Dario likes you. You know you like him. You don't come to that person. There's 20 other people in the house or 19 other people in the house. You don't go to that person with this other guy's trying, I think he might be my match. Like, people need to take notes from Christina with how to juggle more than one person living in the same house. Because she made it an art form.
But it's not like when in a real world situation, juggling two people is obviously not going to talk to them. But here it's because really, if Ashley's thinking that Dario is not my match, I should make sure he knows that. So maybe he finds someone else so that we can win together. It's still that balancing act of I'm into this person, but if I'm not into this person, I don't want to strap this person down so that to hurt our chances in the game. So there's all those factors.
No, but don't we get sort of like an idea that she's more thinking Leighton's an option because she doesn't want to get hurt because she actually likes Dario as opposed to not liking Leighton but understanding it matched?
Yeah.
I just think that she goes to him not as like, hey, look, I'm pursuing other options, you pursue other options. I think she's kind of like, Leighton could be my match. Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, not in a conscious way. But subconsciously, like, she's going to her, like, look, I have another option. Like, can you prove yourself that I'm not going to get hurt here? And Dario, like, I think she's lucky that this didn't happen. Not that she's, like, lucky, because Dario should totally be interested in her. But I think she's lucky this didn't happen earlier. Because when there's more options, I think Dario would have said, fine, go pursue Leighton. I'm going to go pursue Shelby. I'm going to go pursue Brianna, etc.
Right.
But now that it's down, I mean, he's gone through his top options and now he still is lucky enough to have a genuine connection with someone. He's not, you know, what's the point in giving up on that?
Yeah, I think he even said, like, at that conversation ended, like, yeah, I got nowhere else to go, so.
Yeah, that's a strategy, is just, like, wait until the end to make a connection and then just play everyone against each other.
That's the Ally Lasher strategy for Are You the One?
That's why I'm not on Are You the One. Okay, so yeah, now I'm sorry, the challenge, the competition.
The competition. Getting dumped. Now, I may be just like really clueless, but I kept misunderstanding the rules of the challenge. So you ask the person the question, and it's either an A or B. Now, the person underneath, do they go under the answer? They go under the answer that you think they're not going to pick, right?
Okay. I'm confused, but I know how it worked, but okay.
Because the way he was explaining it, I kept thinking he was saying it like backwards. He was like, and the girl, pour it in the answer that you think it is, and the guy, go under the answer that you think it is so you won't get something poured on.
So if you were on the top and I was on the bottom, okay, and it's A and I choose between A and B, and they ask a question like, which would Brian, it's the person on the top, what would they prefer? So it's
right.
Like, what would Brian prefer, eat dining in or cooking? What, that was like one of the questions.
Right.
I would go into whichever one I thought you would pick. You vomit via bucket on the one that you don't want.
Okay.
So if I'm in the one that you did pick, I don't get vomited on.
That's what I figured it was supposed to be, but it was just, I don't know.
It was not too many questions.
Very well.
They did too many questions too quickly.
Way too many questions.
But overall, what did you think of the challenge?
It was good. I wish there was, like, if they did like less questions and actually help show people, I would have liked to see more of people's answers. Like they kept just showing like the bottom person getting soaked, and I had to like remember who was pouring it on them, and I couldn't always remember off the top of my head. So I wish they had a more just like way to show people's answers.
I definitely agree with you. Like, I mean, there could have been a couple rounds where they revealed it like one by one. Like, Dario, what'd you say? Vomit bucket. Like, what'd you say? Vomit bucket. Like, you, like that kind of breakdown. One thing is I wrote a nice summary of the challenge here to explain it, which I should have used, which is if they match, great. If they don't, garbage shower. But one thing I thought was the matchup seemed way more strategic for the most part than I've ever noticed before.
Yeah, I don't really remember all the matches, but it seemed like a lot of them were similar to the matchup ceremony from the night before, or the whatever, not the night before, whatever it was before, right? It seemed like that was the consistent.
That's possible. I just thought in general, like these were potentially the strong couples. It was Jess and Anthony, Garland and Alex, Christina and Nate, Ashley and Leighton, Ellie and Dario, which was kind of a default, Jasmine and Alex, and Brianna and Brandon.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, these are all people that have a connection that would be good truth booths.
No, I agree.
Here's a little conspiracy theory for you. AF4 on Twitter said, if only there was a way to avoid getting gross shit dumped on you by coming up with a strategy with your partner. Hashtag are you the one.
So like saying I'm going to do A for every answer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just more conspiracy than reality. A little fan fiction there, but I do think it's pretty funny. You could just whisper. When you switch, you could just say, like, all right, just do B for everyone.
Yeah, or, like, hit, like, one of the walls. That's reading too much into it, but, yeah.
Anything you took? I took a couple things away from the questions I got, but anything?
Just Ellie being just typical Ellie, just one-liners all over the place. Nothing better than her saying, like, I don't do lingerie. If we're bleeping, we're bleeping. It's coming off anyway.
If you're going to quote Ellie, you have to do it in the accent.
I can't do the accent. It's just going to make me sound like a really stupid.
I want to try. I mean, she gave a great anatomy lesson when she was like down the butt crack and straight into the vagina. That wasn't that good. That was like a little Aussie mixed in. I don't know, but
you're good when you say bitch.
One thing I got from this is, first of all, Ashley and Leighton get absolutely everything wrong. No shock there. My question is, would Leighton have gotten any of these correct with anyone?
Leighton sucks at basically every challenge. Actually, I can shorten that sentence. Leighton just sucks. But probably not, because he just doesn't seem like he's just awful in everything.
I just don't think he's gotten to know anyone, or he actually listens when they tell him things. Because if he did listen, he would know that he's playing Jess out hard and he's going to look like a jerk. But anyway, one thing that I thought was interesting, and I wish I was able to catch it more quickly, who said what. But the question was for the girls, would you rather be smart and ugly or dumb and beautiful? Alex and Ellie were the only ones, I think, who said dumb and beautiful.
There's so many mean jokes I can say about wanting to be dumb and beautiful about the people on the show, but I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to say any of them because I'm going to be nice.
Yeah, but so I liked this challenge a lot. I thought it was like pretty interesting compared to most challenges. Like they asked a lot of questions, so I think you did get a good idea, like, these people must know each other if they won or got a significant amount right, because they ask so many questions that it's like, how many can you really guess?
I think the winning team got like, what was it, like 15 or 16? Like that's crazy. There's so many questions. That's a lot.
Yeah. So Brianna and Brandon. Brianna.
Is that
Brandon.
Their couple name? Were we coming up with a couple name?
Oh, no.
Brandon?
But they won to most people's surprise. And then Nate and Christina and Anthony and Jess tied. So we have great options for the truth booth all
around.
Can
we just point out that Brandon has basically won like every challenge? It's really like, I don't think enough of that is being made. Like, he's just really good at all these weird things.
He's making a lot of it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think last week he tweeted like, this is the only date I didn't go on.
I mean, I remember Shanley last year basically won like every challenge, and now Brandon's basically winning like every challenge. So if they ever got together, watch out.
Well, it stinks because it's just like Brandon and just like Shanley last year. It was never interesting to really see them. It's only interesting this date to see Brandon possibly go into the truth booth because he only has two people left.
Right.
I remember being so sick of Shanley being on every date because I never wanted her in the truth booth because I had no idea who her match was.
Mm-hmm. All right, I gotcha.
So This is where we get Ellie speculating on Nathan being her match.
Yeah, and even before that, we get a little glimmer, sorry. Just a very little glimmer of strategy talk, which will be a very highly debated topic later on, but they're saying the 11th girl is the biggest situation in the house, and we need to get to the bottom of it. So this was the early push to vote Nate and Christina in.
We'll get to that.
I just had to throw that out there, but we'll get to that.
Ellie's now postulating that Nathan needs her help because he's a little clingy. This is where she says beach again. I could slap his ass and be like, beach, this is what you need to do. And I think fair point. Like, I wouldn't pick them as a match. Like, if I were setting two friends up, it wouldn't be my friend like Ellie and my friend like Nate. But I think she's like sniffing something out here. Like, if they were a match, it would be because she's not emotional and she could like kind of tell him what's what, and he may be too clingy.
I agree. I think if Ellie and Nate were close, like way back when he was throwing his tantrum about Shelby and he was talking to her and not Pratt, I think she would have calmed him down and like slapped him and just like shape up, man up, let's go. And he would have been back to his normal self much quicker than if he was talking to Pratt Juice Pratt.
Ooh, I just got like shivers just hearing his name. No. So I agree. Like, I mean, there are very few possibilities left, but I think that Ellie's logic is like at least a little sad. And I think Simone picked them as a match on her for that same reason on the after match, which I remember at the time like heckling. But I think now when like nobody can be a match, then sure, why not put two people together who make no sense because they balance each other?
Exactly.
So now we get exactly what we were talking about last week, which is if you want to have a party, you can just have a party.
How is this? Ryan's like, oh, we're going to give you a lot of help. Here's a party. Now this week, here's another party. But this is not considered. Why is this considered not help? And last week was considered help. Just leaving the house? Is that it? Is that
I don't know.
Leaving the house?
I just need help determining what these people were dressed as.
Well, Anthony came out, and I don't know what he was supposed to be, but he looked like the little brother of Zach from the challenge. That's what he looked like.
I'm like trying to remember what I was able to
like,
get from
long
this.
Hair, something like that. It was just like what Zach would look like if he was like on less steroids.
I feel like, was Jess a wolf or a koala bear, or was she just wearing like gray fur?
I know G was supposed to be was Alex's grandpa.
Oh, I missed that.
That's where it started. I think that costume got ditched immediately because they seemed like there were like four different costumes throughout the entire night.
And then now, was Jasmine Eve or was she Poison Ivy?
I would assume Eve.
Or was she Shrubbery?
I'm still going with Eve.
Sexy Shrub for your next Halloween costume?
I don't know how you make Shrubbery sexy.
Well, she was looking sexy and all in leaves. You could tell me she's a topiary.
Are we going to start talking about Puerto Rican flowers now?
Yeah, sure. I got my degree. A couple of my degrees are in botany.
Of course. Who doesn't? I have like four of them.
Okay, so now we get to the most confusing part for me. And I feel like every week I say every part was the most confusing part. But Ashley actually is buying Leighton's garbage. Like, Ashley genuinely thinks that Leighton could be her match. And that's fine. But is it because of what Leighton said?
I think everyone just doubts themselves. Like, they've seen so many people go through the truth booth and go through ceremonies with people that they like, and it be shot down, that everyone is so afraid to get caught up in someone and have it be shot down because they've seen it happen time after time after time.
That's fair.
So I think she's just hedging herself.
This is what frustrates me, is that like Ashley and Daria were like dancing, and not even close to how they were dancing like at the party last week,
right?
But they're just dancing, and Leighton plays his usual games and goes and makes out with Jess. Like, fine, if you're gonna pay attention to Dario, I know she doesn't want me to be with Jess, but I'm gonna be with Jess because grinding equals boom boom room, apparently. That's tit for tat with Leighton.
Yeah, nothing says you're a good old boy like getting jealous and sleeping with Jess. Like, keep doing you, Leighton.
Oh my god, poor Jess. I hate Leighton. The BJ cam, though, makes a second appearance this week.
It did. It was tough to tell because that one was like a really dark. Like, you barely really make out them because it was like kind of far away.
Oh, you could make it out.
You could. I said barely. I said not. I didn't say could.
Oh,
I said barely.
Make it out.
But you could.
I didn't rewind. I made it out. Wrote it down. Lock it in. BJ cam shrinks again.
Well, Leighton. Dude, what are you like? I remember the first episode. He came across like this, like really like a good guy. He's gonna be kind of like the level-headed person of the house, and he's gone so far away from that. It's mind-boggling.
There is recorded footage of me saying that Leighton is my favorite guy in the house, episode one of our recap. Unfortunately, that will haunt me forever. This is the internet. That doesn't get erased.
It's very true. But I'll say it forever.
This did answer my question on whether or not they would have shown Jenny's BJ cam if she didn't call it out. I guess they're just any opportunity for a BJ cam use, they use it. Maybe they spent a lot of money on it.
How do you get the invoice on that from Amazon? He's going to BJ cam?
But yeah, no, Leighton, I feel like we say it time and time again, Leighton's clear, and he kind of touches on it this week, but with no self-awareness. Somehow Leighton like says things that seem self-aware with zero self-awareness, that he gets what he wants. Usually he's had no trouble in life.
I think he said always.
I'm trying to merge my opinion and his. He gets what he wants. He was an athlete. He probably had no trouble getting girls. He's a good-looking guy, especially in the South, where the Southern accent isn't like a novelty or something people would make fun of you for. Mm-hmm. And he comes into this, and he's competing with guys, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's like a Vembot short-circuiting. Like, I get it, but I just want him at week 8 to not be doing the same thing he did week 2.
I think he just sometimes forgets that he's on a television show. And that all of his actions are being filmed and will soon be broadcast for everyone to see. I think he forgets that sometimes. Like, he thinks he's just in his own little world.
We actually have a question about that.
Really?
That I'm going to be... Oh, perfect. Okay, I was stalling there. Alex Panda Moran asked, last episode was like the millionth time Leighton blew up in a matchup. Is he just super hot-headed, or is he playing things up for the cameras? So does he, in fact, remember every single time that he's on a TV show, and is this for TV?
I'll say this. If he's doing it for the TV, he's doing a horrible job, because he's coming across looking horrible. He's looking like a horrible person. Like, I understand he's at least getting airtime, but if you're going to get airtime, don't you want to be, like, appealing to the people who are watching it? Like, who's watching this? We'll get to who's watching the show, but who's watching the show and thinking, oh, Leighton, that's definitely someone I want to like associate myself with.
Well, that's the thing though, is like, who are the people that get cast? Like, for some reason last year, like, Adam was similar to Leighton. Now, he didn't have the temperament, but he was like using and abusing this girl on the side, Brittany, who's the Jess. And so I hated Adam last season. I know he was definitely not as hated, but I really didn't like him. He gets on the challenge. Simone, she was likable, but she took down everyone in the house screaming every second that she got people at their lowest moment. She came for them like cutthroat. She gets cast. So I just think that, like, I don't think he's playing this for the cameras at all. I don't think he's a good enough actor, but I do think that if somebody's, you know, if a handful of people are going to go on the challenge, Leighton's in the conversation.
Not in my conversation, but
I think realistically, Leighton's in the conversation in terms of being a newbie that's going to step to the Johnny Bananas, the Muzaks. Like, he's not going to keep his mouth shut to the point where it's going to be annoying, but, you know, it's right. Like Jordan.
I guess so. I guess. Yeah.
I'll be upset too. I'll commiserate with you when the time comes.
Let's get to a more positive thing, because we get to my favorite hookup, I think, of the season. I'm going to go with the season when Ashley and Dario start making out, and Brandon says he can't watch this, and then Brianna curls up onto the couch and then turns up upside down like she's a bat watching them hook up. It was hysterical.
She was, in fairness, invited to the party by Dario, saying, like, oh, you want to see why it's 80-20, me lay in, like... You know, so she got invited. She RSVP'd. Yes. Like, I don't blame her. Quickly. She got in there.
There's no debate.
Her man's gone. Her most likely match is someone she hates. So why not enjoy young love?
And she gave herself a nice, interesting angle. We just want to watch people making out upside down.
Well, that's how you don't seem like actually creepy, by staring. It's like you make it comedic, but you're actually still watching.
Do you do this often? Is that how you know the way to do this?
No, but like, I feel like... that just made sense to say at the time. Yes, I teach a seminar on it. I'll send you the information.
Creeping 101.
But, this is advanced creeping.
This is creeping 301. Is this what you need? You need a degree to get into this class,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. This is one of my many degrees. Okay. Botany, and then we do this.
Perfect.
One thing I liked, I don't condone Ashley, like, turning them both against each other, but I do like that now we're seeing Dario fight for Ashley, Like, Ashley was kind of, like, slow playing it. She didn't she not get picked one time? Or she almost didn't get picked once. It was, like, her and Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, I think so.
And so she, like, didn't really have that much going on with the guys. And so I kind of like now seeing her, Dario, work for it. Last episode, I think I said it seemed like Dario was holding back. I kind of do maybe think this, or at least the way we're seeing it, this introduction of Leighton is now making Dario be more confident about him and Ashley and look past the virgin thing or the nice girl thing and really, like, rise to the occasion and fight for her. I like that.
I'm on board. I'm a big Dario fan. On all accounts. So.
I wish it didn't involve Leighton, but I do like that it's made him raise his game.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm liking Dario more also because he's being compared to Leighton, so that may be shadowing it, but I just think Leighton's Dario. No. I think Dario's a pretty cool guy, so shout out to Dario.
Okay, so we get to the date.
Yes. Which, so Jess obviously claims that she hasn't forgotten about Leighton because she just did stuff with him the night before, so definitely she hasn't forgotten about him. And Bree and Brandon look like they're having fun, and Nate decides not to do this date.
Well, what I like, just quickly backtracking, what I like about Jess and Anthony is that she says, like, yeah, we have sexual tension. The first day we had stupid sex. Like, she just says things, and I love it. Like, I love that she's willing to laugh at herself and just call it stupid sex. Like, it seems like she's going to say something after that, but she doesn't. She just calls it stupid sex. But yeah, one thing with this whole date is I forgot about the Brandon-Christina drama until Christina brought it up. Like, in one of her, like, asides. Like, oh, I wish Brandon wasn't here. I totally forgot that they were the thing that they were.
Yeah, it wasn't. I think it was, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago when someone won a date and picked Christina, and then Brandon won also, and you saw, like, they made a point of showing Christina being visibly upset that Brandon was going to be, I think it was when Christina was with John, yeah, with Musti. Like, here, yeah, I agree, I did not click in my head, like, oh, and the Brandon's going to mess things up for Nate when they're on a date. That didn't click in my head either.
Yeah, and then, okay, so what you're getting at with Nate and Christina, I am the biggest, like, know your podcast host. I am the biggest baby there is. Like, I just saw Hunger Games 3. Not just. A week ago, I saw Hunger Games 3, and I've slept with the lights on for 3 days. Meanwhile, people who were there were 7 years old, walking out, skipping for joy. I'm a huge baby. I'm afraid of heights. I would go parasailing. I almost have gone parasailing. The fact that Nathan, on national television, with a girl he likes, is willing to send a guy who his girl likes more than him, unbeknownst to him, mm-hmm. up on this, like, heights romantic, scientifically, actually, like, adrenaline stuff with a couple, with a guy or a girl, makes you more attracted to them afterwards. Mm-hmm. And the willing, he goes, go ahead, Brandon, go ahead. You know, it's my idea. Go ahead. Enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Nate. I hate heights. I don't do heights. Something must have happened to me in past life, because I don't do heights at all. But if I'm on national television and I'm into this girl on national television and they're there with the ex, I'm going to man up for a few minutes and just try to get through this. And if I didn't, I would send Anthony to go with her, not Brandon.
But that's
that made no sense.
No, that made perfect sense. Oh, no, you were saying made no sense. Yes.
I always make totally sense. What are we talking about?
No, but that's what I'm trying to express. Like, I'm terrified of heights. I'm terrified of my own shadow. Like, I don't do anything. Parasailing in person is not as high as it even made a look on TV. But whatever. All right. We have a question, a really blunt question, blunter than I could ever be. And I'm going to we've been using foul language, so PG-13. Anna Jose asks, what's the verdict on Nathan? Is he a bitch?
That's a fantastic wording of a question. Yeah, I guess yet. I don't want to say yes, because I actually did start to like Nate a little bit this episode. I kind of felt for him, felt like he was misreading situations and maybe being used a little bit, and I felt a little bad. So I don't want to be mean to Nate. I feel like I've piled on Nate enough throughout the season that maybe I'll give him a little pass. So I won't say full bitch.
I'm not here to call a grown man a bitch on a podcast, so... What's the verdict on Nate? To me, like, you have the sympathy for him this episode. I personally don't. I think Nathan has demonstrated a complete, also similar to Leighton, a complete lack of self-awareness this entire season. He thought Shelby was so into him. He thought him and Shelby were in love. He can't pick up on signals. It's every single date we saw with Christina and Nate. She mentioned, oh, like, it's really hard with Brandon, but I'm going to try. Like, anyone and their mom could, literally your mom has picked out that Christina was trying her hardest with Nate. It was kind of forced. Maybe they were matched. Maybe they weren't, but they were not in love. Shelby and Nate, maybe they had a connection. They were not in love. Nate cannot read something 2 feet in front of his face. He assumes that he's God. He gets the hottest girl since he's 13 and he gets it. I don't feel sympathy for somebody who can't, you know, read the signals in front of them, like 2 feet from their face. But at least you feel sympathy. So then I, by, balanced.
I'm trying to.
I would feel sympathy. I feel sympathy for Jess. Jess, with the information given, is acting fine. Like, she doesn't know that Layton is bad-mouthing her. And when she finds out, she's trying to account for it on Twitter. Nate's seeing everything we're seeing.
I guess so, but you don't know how. Maybe Christina's being more affectionate to him than we're really letting on. And obviously, he doesn't see her confessionals, but...
She says it to him in many conversations. In the deleted scene, she said, "Oh, it's tough, Brandon's here, but yeah. I do like you." I mean, come on, put the pieces together, man. You're an adult. Like, he's an adult male. He's not a 13-year-old, hormonal teenager.
In the prime of his life.
Okay, so, but I'm not going to call him a bitch. Okay. But I appreciate the question.
Now, here's a big question for you. Frog or fish?
Yeah, what?
Who keeps a frog as a pet? The only pet I've ever seen for a frog was in Cheaper by the Dozen. The only time I've ever seen someone have a frog for a pet.
I'm going to just move swiftly over the fact that you're citing Cheaper by the Dozen, but I do now know
what you're
talking about. The girl who was in the Eminem video, who dances in that video, music video. She is the frog. Well, I'll tweet about it. There's an actress who's in Cheaper by the Dozen, who also was in the I'm Gonna Make You Dance and an Eminem video.
I gotta say, I never expected those two things to cross paths.
Well, it was very big at the time. I figured if you were a Cheaper by the Dozen fan.
I missed out on the other half of that, I guess.
Okay, so...
this podcast keeps you on your toes. You never know what's coming next.
The thing about this date with Brandon and Brianna is that they're getting along, I'm seeing it, but Brandon just talks with this awkward, slow drawl that just irritates the hell out of me when he has time to face the camera, talk to someone. He just talks with this dragged out speech. It's almost slurred and is nails down a chalkboard for me during this date. So I just kind of stopped listening.
Maybe he got plastered. Maybe he was chilling on the balcony getting fucking lit. You don't know.
I just think that he shouldn't be so annoying then. If everybody's chilling on the balcony getting lit, then he should be able to keep it together.
All right, Brandon, stop being so annoying when you talk. Change your whole voice. Let's go.
Okay, so yeah, this is the part where Nate and Christina, like we said last week, they just seem so forced. Mm-hmm. And I guess Nate's the only one who doesn't know that. All right, so the moment everyone's been waiting for, the strategy behind this matchup, this vote in, this deliberation. God, I never remember.
Come on, you'll get it by the finale. It's okay.
The deliberation. I had a nice run of 2 weeks, maybe, but all right. So the decision is basically between Brandon and Christina, Christina and Nate, or Brandon and
Brianna.
Now, Emmanuel Bernard, Kristen Narr, and Valerie Cabret all ask a variation on the same question, and they also extrapolate on what certain matches would mean, but I'm going to omit that for anyone who's not interested in mathematical, potential, hypothetical spoilers.
Right.
This is from Emmanuel's question, but they were all basically the same. He says, "I'm sorry, but at this point, I don't think I don't want this cast to win the money. By sending Brandon and Brianna, they would have known who's Brandon's match, no matter what the outcome." And then all of them postulate to basically say that they could have gotten 3 confirmed matches if Brandon and Brianna were a match potentially. But the bottom line is, and everyone's, I think your mom, Plainview Sue, tweeted about this too. If Brandon goes in, you come out with a successful truth booth.
Right.
Why do they send Christina and Nathan in?
All right. Let me play devil's advocate. So I'll play the side of them. Because there is some semblance of a reason to do this. And it is this. This is going with the knowledge of the concept of the show that we had at this very moment. You have to assume from this point forward that Nate is always going to pick Christina. Because he likes her. people don't just leave out the 11th girl at the match of Summer. So he's always going to pick her. So you have to, if that's the case, then you have to figure out if this is a double match. Because if there's not the double match, then you are not going to win the game. And there's no other way to figure that out if Nate is continuing to pick Christina. So you throw them in, and hopefully it's a double match. And if it is, someone else gets sent home. If not, then you can move on. And then you always have the Brandon and Brianna or Brandon and Tyler pair to throw in at the next one. Or even the last truth booth. That's always going to be sitting there for you waiting to determine who is the match. So that's their logic, I think.
I think you're giving them a lot of credit. We did talk about that last week, that we didn't necessarily think just throwing Brandon in was the smartest move. But Christina has the most possible matches left, just inherently, without looking at the math, like, because people getting knows that, like, she could still be matched with people. Anyway, I don't need to explain it. You know,
she can only be ruled out because she can't be with them.
Because of her, exactly.
People. Yeah.
Thank you. Because I struggled. Okay. So I just think that the one in whatever shot that they have that this is going to be right is not worth it. That said, if what you're saying makes sense, that Nathan's always going to pick her, I wish that they could be more strategic with their picks and make it so that Nathan doesn't need to pick her.
Right.
But I do agree with what you're saying. Do I think that they thought about that way?
Probably not.
I think you're giving them a lot of credit. I think they just thought, oh, we need to get the double match out, so let's hope for the best. Similar to how they almost sent in Alex and Alex last week.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you wanted to save Brandon and Brianna as just like your future, you'll know how to fix that. Do you send in Anthony and Jess?
I wouldn't have had a problem with that. The way the game was set up at this point, I did not think it was like a 100% you have to send in Brandon and Brianna, because that matchup is always going to be there at the 9th or 10th match. So I don't say there's no real difference to doing it now or later. You're still going to be compiling the same type of information to try to put it together. So I was not on the band that these people are so beyond stupid for not throwing them in, because you could do that next week. It's not like the truth booth is going to go away. You're not going to have the opportunity to do it. So if they wanted to throw in Anthony and Jess to get information for that first matchup ceremony when they had the one extra light to figure out who it was, I would have been perfectly fine with that. I think that would have been a fairly decent move.
I think the reason why everyone is saying they're so stupid is because everyone here is sitting with websites and papers and charts and tracking. And if you want to know who is matchup three to rule out certain people, you can look it up. Like, I cannot, based on the questions we got this week, like, keep them coming, they were great. I cannot reiterate enough that they don't have paper, confirmed by Ryan, confirmed by Brianna. The methods they have to go off of their own memory now, seven matchup ceremonies, and how many lights were at each, and who was with whom. And so I just think, like, yes, if they had a piece, this is why they don't have paper. If they had paper, I think they're smart enough to make a chart. But and I just don't think that.
And when we talked to Brianna last week, she tried to even use like soap bottles and stuff like that, and was told not to do that. So they were trying to make this just like pure finding who's your match. And if you do that, it's then not easy to go back to whatever the time frame is to episode one or episode two or episode three and be like, oh, so then if this is this, then we can rule this out, and this is this, we can rule this out. Like, they don't have Excel, like you said. They don't have paper and pen. Like, it's not that simple.
The one thing, though, is I just don't know why you take the shot. Well, there's two schools of thought. Do you take the shot week 8 to get Christina out, thinking that her and Nate are a strong couple based on their own thought that got them both not with their perfect match originally? But do you trust them this time to figure it out and take the shot to give you the best chance moving forward? Or do you take the safer pick, which is Anthony and Jess, just knowing logically Anthony and Jess have to be more likely to be a match than Christina and anyone?
And even, I don't remember the math, but I think Anthony and Christina can be a match, right? Because obviously she picked them at the end. So actually throwing in Jess and Anthony would have also had the possibility of knocking Christina out. So that, I think Anthony and Jess would have also been a pretty smart move.
They also have, like, a history. They have a reason to consider that they're being a match. Just as viewers, I could see them being a match just because it would at least make a hair of sense that why we spent so much time with Anthony, Jenny, Leighton, and Jess.
Right.
Like,
I agree.
I want something to emerge from there. from that storyline. And I would be very satisfied if they were a match. So I agree with the audience that Christina was not the move this week, but I think it might've been Anthony and Jess.
What's interesting is I'm curious about this. We, based on our talk with her last weekend, based on what we've seen, it seems like Brie is like the focal point for the strategy. And she was not there for the deliberation. She was there on the date. Do you think if she was there, would she have persuaded the rest of the house to vote, theoretically, her and Brandon in? I think her not being there made the cast kind of go a little bit astray.
That's definitely possible.
I think she would have been screaming at them, like pounding this over their heads, and I think it probably would have played out differently if she was there.
Well, her thing about last week was more so that if you want to get rid of the 11th girl, you have to send the 11th girl in. You don't send someone in to then potentially get rid of the 11th right. girl. And she also said you go with the strongest connection. So she may have wanted Christina and Nathan in because maybe. Out of them, they arguably have the self-declared strongest connection. Again, like self-determined by people who could not pick their perfect match the first time. And then it also is sending Christina in. So I could see maybe Brianna leaning a different way, but I also could see her supporting the setup.
So they go in to the truth booth, no match. Again, people's Dario, I think, was the only one basically kind of semi-celebrating the same that he called it. I don't understand that either, but Christina's, and this is kind of, we'll get into this, but this is kind of where a little bit my conspiracy theory tricks in, because she starts freaking out, saying like she's done, she keeps putting herself out there, gets shot down over and over, and she's convinced that this is it for her. She's going to lose.
So what frustrated me, I understood Christina's reaction. It's almost like as she's talking to the camera, she starts realizing like what's really happening and that she's now tried three connections that have failed. And like, what else does she have to do? So I understand her storming out in frustration. Nathan's reaction, I went with my heart. No, you didn't. Like, he literally was approached by her. Like, this fell into his lap, and she's a great girl, and sure, but he didn't go with his heart on this. I don't understand how he has such strong feelings for her when none of this emerged until she sat down and said, hey, some people are telling me you could possibly be my match. What do you think?
I mean, the thing of it is, Christina's, like, she's obviously a very attractive girl. She's got that personality that kind of just draws you in, and I know, I think his heart was with Shelby the first couple weeks, but I can see like her like bringing him in and not consciously doing that, but Nate's perspective doing that and seeing that, I could understand him being really hurt by this because Christina's obviously a pretty desirable girl.
It just bothers me because he's saying, I went with my heart. Like, when everyone's not a match, they blame their heart. He also went with strategy. I mean, he went with his heart blindly the first time, didn't work out. Now he's going with this strategy of moving on, finding someone else. People tell you it could be your match, and now my heart gets involved. It just like bothers me that the people are blaming, oh, if I go with my heart, I'll never win now. Like, that's not true. You right. just like, you didn't get lucky there, but you're actually teeing up all my questions before I expected it. So I'm reading the name of the listener, about Christina being desirable. Stefania Liu asked, do you think they purposely, for the 11th girl, pick someone with wide appeal, but also with a match that would be difficult to get as it is so far from what either of them would normally go for?
I think the wide appeal part is definitely right. I think you brought this up even just way back on, that what they wanted to make her someone that would be desirable for everyone. So I think that's definitely the case. I don't know if they then planned it for the match to be difficult to find. I think the match is just difficult to find based on the fact that you can't rule her out with other than literally ruling who she can't be without. So I think that's just what makes it difficult to find her match. But yeah, I definitely think they wanted her to be the blonde, blue-eyed, like, good old girl that everyone would be attracted to.
Isn't it more likely that the double match would have been found than any other match because it's like the one guy could get with two girls? Like, are you surprised that we haven't found, you know, at least one part of the double match to either get Christina out or get the other girl out?
No, I mean, I guess so. I mean, they've only been three confirmed perfect matches, and Christina's only gone into the truth booth twice. So that's five. So I guess that's like a 50-50 shot, theoretically.
And then, yeah, I guess the other three.
Yeah. So it's not that shocking, really.
So then this no match proceeds to like set off a slew of bad strategic comments where Jasmine vaguely says, whoever you are sitting with is most more likely your match.
Yeah, I literally wrote in my notes, I didn't write anything else. I just wrote strategy talk in quotes, and I wrote nothing else.
I mean, that's perfect, because then Anthony says, put your best three options down. Like, it's a little late for three options. Some people don't, I mean, Brandon only has two options.
I think what he meant was, what do you think are the three themes we got from the night before? Like, what do you think are the three best from the last matchup ceremony?
I thought he meant put your personal, like, your top three choices. Because some of them still
most people
say,
don't have three.
Well, some people, like, they don't know that, though. Like, that's the thing is, like, that's they true. Don't actually know the stats. They know Brandon knows
other
that.
Than Brandon.
But, like, they say, like, oh, you know, he's still one of my top picks, or he's one of my, like, and Ryan indulges this in the matchup. But the fact that they still think that they really have that much of a choice left is hilarious.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. My favorite part of the episode. I'm skipping Jasmine and Alex.
That's fine. Yeah,
Jasmine has some doubts. Okay. Christina and Nathan, where Nathan tries to have the like DTR, the define the relationship after the no match. And is like, where do we go from here? And she's like, we try to find our match. And he's like, but what we have is way stronger than what you and Brandon had. And Christina's like, just silently shaking her head. That is just like a bowl of walls. Like, I just don't understand how he can realistically think this, and that Christina's just plainly shaking her head no and saying, like, go find your match. Like, I was only trying to find my match. Deuces.
Like, this is where, like, I didn't feel sympathy. Like, I think sympathy is not really the best, because I just felt bad for him, because I felt like he really believed what he was saying in that moment, that their connection is stronger, when it's so wildly not the case. Like, this is really where I felt bad for him. Because he was, like, really saying, like, oh, but what we have is so strong. It's so real. I really felt something for you. And she's like, yeah, no. I felt so bad for him.
I just think that it's... that I forgot what I was going to say. No. I just think that it's, like... he would feel this way about anyone, like, from his bio. And now we know, like, from what Brianna said, that they read the bio to you. And, like, obviously they totally exaggerate and they take, like, little bits of what you said and blow it up so you're crazy. But they do read it and you do say yes. I don't know how many people would want to argue with MTV over this. But Nathan's bio was basically, like, he gets way too clingy and the girl freaks out. And that's what we saw twice now. So I'm going to say there's a little validity to his bio. And I just think that he latches on to the pretty girl or the girl that shows him interest or whatever, and then he falls in love with them immediately. And, like, I just think that if Jenny came up to him and said, hey, Nathan, like, I think we may be a match. What do you think? And he would feel like his connection was stronger than hers with anyone else.
I think that's all
very fair.
I'm
getting very
upset. It's very fair. I'm just saying, for me, I felt bad for him. But, yeah, no, maybe I just feel bad for the person that he is.
That's worse than anything I've ever said.
I know, but, like, I don't know. That's just, it's just the way he goes about all these things. But I just felt bad for him. But, yeah, that could just be it.
God, Brian, you're so mean.
I kind of still like you, Nate, sort of. I don't know.
All right. So this is your favorite part for sure with Layton.
Layton saying that... he knows what he wants and he always gets it. Yeah, my favorite. I can't get enough of Layton.
I literally, speaking of what we wrote down in the notes, here I wrote Layton, I get what I want. Can't even take notes on Layton. So freaking annoying.
You wrote, I can't even take notes on him?
I wrote, I can't even take notes on Layton. Period. So freaking annoying. Period.
Did you write even at all caps? I can't even.
No, it was matter of fact. Like, I, like, note to self, things happened here. I didn't take notes.
Fair. I just wrote Layton knows what he wants.
So. That was so nice of you.
Yeah. I'm very nice in my note taking. I just basically write that was going to happen. I make mean jokes in my head.
So we get to the matchup ceremony.
Yeah.
So many thoughts.
A lot of thoughts. But just to quickly bounce through this. So first, Brianna picked Nate. Jasmine picked Alex. Jess picked Anthony. Tyler picked Brandon. Alexandria picked Garland. Shout out to Garland. Happy birthday. Ellie picked Layton. Ashley picked Dario. And then for the double match, Christina picked Anthony, but Anthony stuck with Jess.
Right off the bat, my question for you, with Brianna picking Nate, are they not allowed to say, like, if could they go, and I've always wondered this, can they go up, you know, when they're picking their match with Ryan, can they say, I'm picking this purely based on strategy?
I'm sure they could, and then
I don't think they can.
Well, they can, and then Ryan will ask them another question, and then that'll be what's shown.
Oh, I'm sure. But I just mean, like, I don't think that they're allowed to say, like, she had to come up with, and I mean, she tweeted this, and maybe this is the case, but she's like, Nate's always been there for me. Like, they have to come up with a pitch of why they actually like this person, when at this point, it's just so thin.
No, I agree. She picked Nate because I guess they agreed. I would hope they agreed beforehand that this time they'll let Tyler pick Brandon just to see what it does for the numbers. But yeah, he probably just said to her, like, give me a reason. Why do you think Nate could be your match? And then she went into that.
MTV just, like, does not want to admit, like, wants to rebel against this being strategic at all this entire game. Mm-hmm. But I do wish sometimes, I think it would be really interesting if sometimes they went up to the matchup ceremony and said, based on strategy, I think my perfect match is so-and-so. And then Ryan would be like, well, do you like this person? And she'd be like, no. And then if they weren't a match, then next week you'd be like, see, told you. Like, I just think that would be add more support to the head versus heart argument to actually see them doing that.
Because we do see we do see a few instances of people debating head versus heart. One of them was Jasmine, where she was like, I don't know what to do. My head is saying this and my heart is saying Alex. What exactly was she debating between? Who else was her option to pick?
That was
the big teaser for, like, one of the commercials during the ceremony, and I didn't know what they were teasing for.
This raised three questions to me. One, yeah, I tweeted that. I was like, this is the most dumb setup of suspense ever. There's no cliffhanger here. Nobody cares. There's so few options, and we only see her with Alex. So that's one thing, yes. Why was that a cliffhanger? Two, why does she ultimately say it in the stupidest, most corny way? I'm going with my heart. My eyes are on the prize and my eyes are on Alex. Oh, like buckets of pig stomach vomit everywhere. Like, that was so, like, annoying to me. And I like Jasmine, so I was bothered by that. And then you have three. Who has her head if Alex has her heart?
I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense. There was no one. They didn't tease any other option.
I don't know why they make it like your head and your heart can't agree. My heart wants Alex. My head also says, based on the options left, it's possible that it's Alex. My head is saying I have a connection with him, so maybe they'd put me with him. Like, why can't your head and your heart match? I understand that she doesn't think they're a match because they have different goals or whatever. But I feel like everyone has to make this story up as if they're going with their heart or they're going with their head, when can't you go for both?
I don't know. And for the teaser situation, like, this ceremony had a built-in teaser, and they not only did they not use it for the teaser, they completely tossed it aside. Why was Ashley the last girl to pick? Why would they allow her to pick with Layton already off the board? Why would she not be, like, one of the first couple to pick and make her decide between Dario and Layton? Why did they let the decision be made for her?
I'm not sure. I mean, that is something we didn't ask Brianna, although I don't know that she would have answered, because she was reluctant, understandably, to answer, like, real how do they do things questions. But we should have probably asked. It's like so many questions. One, how do they decide who picks? Two, do you lock in your matches beforehand? Like, do you tell a producer who you're going to pick and then they put it in order? Like, do the girls take time before and decide together? So for a variety of reasons, the fact that it would have been more interesting just in order to see Ashley picking Dario, even if everyone knew she was already going to pick Dario, if Layton to the audience was still an option.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of them know who they're going to pick. I mean, Jess seemed pretty stunned that Christina picked Anthony. I don't think these people are that good of actors that they're going to be able to pretend like this. So,
well, Christina's a special case.
That's
Christina,
true.
Nobody needs to know who Christina is picking in order to pick their own match.
But it's just weird because, like this is odd. Like, the producers obviously decide what the pecking order is for each week, and why they wanted Ashley to be last is very. It was weird that they let her have Dario sitting there rather than make her to make the decision. But that's why I'm just a podcast host.
No, I agree. It was definitely a missed opportunity. But yeah, we get another boring fight from Layton and Dario, except Dario takes him to task. And the line of the season, you're a sleazy car salesman.
100% sure. That's, I think for 8 weeks, we've been trying to figure out a way to sum up Layton, and Dario did it. So I'm clapping. It's not, definitely not going to be able to come up in air, but definitely well done, Dario. That's exactly what he is.
So this spilled over into Twitter just like a little bit, and Layton tweeted, "Tell them who you would have picked if I wasn't already taken at the matchup. Hashtag behind the signs at Lauren Ashley Hall. Hashtag, or I just, whatever, that's not her Twitter handle. Hashtag, are you the one?" And Dario writes, "The scenes, you college grad, you." Killing me, because I saw that tweet with Layton and I was going to pull it because, like, I guess Layton's claiming from the peanut gallery that he would have been picked if Ashley had the option, which again asks the question,
why didn't she?
I mean, unless conspiracy theory, they really don't want them to get matched, and so they manipulate this and Ashley and Layton are a match and she was going to pick him. I mean, who knows? Yeah. But the fact that he said behind the signs, I was ready to rip on him for. And then boom, Dario coming in, saving me the time. Thank you, Dario.
So the only other thing that I had from this before we get to the major moment was, I love that the Jess being on the murder watch is now like a thing in the house. I'm really going to bring that up. I love that she's the leading contender to murder someone, because that's 100% true.
That's also what you said.
Yes.
Back in the day. One thing I just want to point out is that Anthony, or Jess, is now the second Goon Squad member that Christina has tried to snatch the man from. And I love that Jess was pissed about it. When all of a sudden, you think that you're his match? Are you kidding? What?
It's a weekly thing. Someone new goes after Layton, and there's like a immediate cut to Jess going, "What the fuck? You going after Layton? No! You can't do that. What? No.
No, this is her going after Anthony.
Whoever she's... Jess, I can't even keep track with it, but Jess, there's always a cut to Jess freaking out over someone going after someone that she's been with. And it's hysterical, because she's like, she's got that face at like, oh my God, she's going to end up on the 10 o'clock news.
Well, that's why it's so funny to me, is because Christina picked Anthony, and for Jess, who's so into Layton that she doesn't even want to spend time on the date with Anthony, like, they're fine, but she's all about Layton. It's like, you figure she would have this reaction if Christina picked Layton. Yeah. But I think she's, you know, well, let's get into it now, because my thought would be, oh, she doesn't want to share the match with Christina and possibly not get the money. But as Ryan enlightened us,
I wrote this quote down because I was just so blown away by this. But this is the exact quote. He said, "Don't worry, Christina, if everyone wins tonight, you win with them. You win together or you lose together." What just happened?
So we have a couple questions about this. First of all, that's the opposite of everything he said. The win together, lose together.
But absolutely.
Mia Pia says, "My theory on Ryan's comment of you all win together or lose together is this. The double matchup gets discovered next week and one of the girls goes home. Therefore, Ryan's comment would make sense that the 20 remaining people would either win together or lose together at either the 9th or 10th matchup." Hold on, goes on to second page. Ceremony. "For some reason, I feel like MTV took that comment Ryan made and just inserted it into this week when an 11th girl still remained." Thoughts? So to summarize this long quote, she thinks that they just took it that Christina or the other girl goes home next week and they just like Frankensteined it into this week.
That is a sane and rational theory and I support it. But my initial reaction was very different. I love conspiracy theories, and the second this happened, my brain started rattling around to try to figure out what might have happened. And what I initially landed on was this, that when Christina and Nate were not to be a match, I think they downplayed her reaction. I thought they downplayed it, that she actually legitimately flipped out and was ready to leave the house because she was so afraid that she was just going to be left out of all the ceremonies and she was going to be here for nothing and was not going to get any money. And they made this now adjustment that, no, Christina, don't worry. You could still be left out of the matchup, Sony, and you'll still get money. And I thought they made that adjustment on the fly to keep her in the house, to keep this game from unraveling.
I don't know what you and Maria Pia have been doing together, but I want in because I think both of this is ludicrous fan fiction. I think your idea is interesting, but I just don't understand why Christina would be at all motivated to leave, even if she's doing it for nothing. Free vacation, more TV time. And she still does have the chance that she gets thrown into the truth booth like Brandon did 100 times for no reason and right. and comes out of it. So I just don't actually think that she's motivated enough to leave. Mia Pia's theory, I don't think they Frankenstein a bit. I don't think they would Frankenstein a bit to make zero sense. Mm-hmm. So you actually have some information on this.
Yeah, so my conspiracy theory in my head lasted for about like 10 to 15 minutes because then it got shot down when the cast confirmed to me that, no, this was actually the rules from the outset, that no matter when they won, as long as you were in the game, meaning the double match was not either Christina or her double match was not sent home, you would win. So all the time that I was saying I want the moment of the person on the side rooting against the entire house, that was never going to happen because that was not the rules. So this was the way it's always been. And for almost eight weeks, they made us believe that was not the case. And I don't understand. I mean, I understand why, because it created like an interesting situation. I more so don't understand why this is the rule.
Okay, well, there's a few things we need to break down. One, why did they hide it? Two, why is it the rule? And three, why did the cast behave the way that they did, knowing that the truth booth was the only way to send the 11th girl home? So starting with why, I don't understand. I understand why this is a rule. I don't understand why they didn't show it to us. Like, I think that this would have made it so much more interesting with the matchups. I mean, with the deliberation of who to send in, because you then have to pick, do you want better odds of getting the matches right and getting rid of the 11th girl? Or do you want to like win together, lose together and be like a family and not try to send her home on purpose?
See, I don't even understand why this is a rule. Now, I don't take a lot of lessons from Walter White. I think he's a horrible person. This is Breaking Bad stuff. But one thing I took from him is you don't do a half measure. You do a full measure. And making this the rule that the person sitting out can still win the money is a half measure. And it's weak. And it's you have this great twist of a concept for the show. And they buckled and they took the easy way and they said, no, you could still win money. Go all the way. Make this the twist. It created the drama that I was at least hoping to see of the person sitting out being pissed that they're sitting out, not because they're being left out of like a dodgeball pick, but because they might miss their opportunity for their share of $50,000, and now that goes away. And I think it's a very weak move by MTV, and I don't understand it at all.
I understand what you're saying about it being a half measure the way that they hit it, but I think that they could have capitalized on the interesting parts of it being only the truth booth that can send you home by hiding it and pretending that it wasn't and editing around that. So I just think that they wasted. Also, my question is, if 21 people win, do they still split $1 million or do they each get 50?
I assume they still split $1 million. So now they're not even getting 50,000. Now they're getting like 47,000.
Well, if that's true, if that's the case, if they're splitting it, that would have been really interesting discussion about people wanting to get her out to get more money versus people wanting to keep her in to, you know, because you're friends and you care about her. I just wish that we saw more of this considered if this, in fact, was the twist. I would like to see the twist the way it actually was. We could say that, you know, the editing did what it did because it wasn't an interesting story otherwise, but then that's your fault. You made your bed, you picked the twist, lie in it, show it to us.
Because now, like, I think the third question you said was, what are these people doing? Why is Christina ever being picked in a matchup ceremony? And there's no excuse about that she had, like, the strong connection with someone, because her and Brandon were only available to be picked for the first matchup ceremony. They were ruled out in episode 2, I believe. So from that point on, why was she ever picked? Ever. There is no reason for it.
One strategic thinker should have said, Christina never goes in the truth booth, never gets picked. She sits out, and then we all win together. She can go on dates, whatever she wants, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and I just don't understand because that could have been the compromise. But I mean, she might have been upset. That's still the thing, is that if Christina sits back and waits, she never gets in the truth booth and leaves the option for a determined perfect match to send her home.
And that's even the thing with the perfect match. Like, from the first episode, Tyler said, and this actually makes a lot more sense now, that her mission is to make sure that Christina doesn't go into the truth booth. And she's right. No girl should, there's no upside for the other 10 girls for Christina to go into the truth booth. Other than getting one of the guys out so they don't pursue them if for a non-match. That's the only upside. And that's a very, 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 very little upside.
Yeah, and now, I mean, it's just kind of unfair that we didn't, you know, see the game as it was played. Like, we didn't know the rules.
Yeah.
My question is, why did they decide to unveil this now?
That's another, like, you've gone this far. We would have never known otherwise unless they win.
Right.
And the 11th girl is in play, and she's celebrating with them, and they had to explain.
What's interesting is last week, I was thinking maybe it's the first time that Christina's been not picked, but last week she was out also.
And then the other question is, I think I know the answer, but is it only if Christina, like if, let's say Ashley is the double match and Ashley's sitting out, she wins too, right? It's not just Christina sitting out wins?
I think from what you heard from the cast that the truth booth is the only way to get Christina or another girl out of the house.
That's what I figured. And now it makes this decision that I was trying to play devil's advocate for even more ludicrous. Now there is the rationale that I had was to get rid of the double match because Christina would already be picked. Because there is no reason that Christina should already be picked, there is no reason for her to be sent into the tooth booth. So now 100% it should have been Brandon or Brianna or even Anthony and Jess, because I think that's still a very viable option to throw in because that rules out a lot of stuff. But there is zero, zero logical sense to throw in Christina or a Nate for the tooth booth other than it benefits Christina.
I don't know why they've done everything they've done, and I feel like it's really unfair that we found out this way and haven't been able to think about it. I mean, I can't look back on the past 8 episodes and make sense of what's happened based on a new rule we didn't know about.
It's
garbage.
Like as upset and hurt as you can be from watching an MTV reality show, it's like we were lied to for 8 weeks about this show, and I don't understand why they did it, and then why they decided to reveal it, unless they win. MTV,
yeah.
Please, just hire me already.
Think that they must win, and maybe they win next week. I don't know. So let's get into. We have more questions to talk about whether or not they win.
I could go on for this for 3 hours. So yeah.
Well, I mean, we can keep coming back to it. So here's first of all. Well, I'll get back to that. Let's go to this. So, Stefania Liu asks, is there any way they can get it at this point? They're not even close, and they're playing stupid. Week 7, they got 6 likes. Lights, and then she says her strategy, instead of changing only 4 matches, they change 5. They're still going 100% on emotions instead of a mix of emotion and strategy.
I mean, they definitely can win because there's been some, I know we've already said that they don't have paper pen, they don't have all this stuff, but there's already been some reports, I don't know if it's true or not, that the matchups are, like, you could figure it out right now based on the information that we have that you could figure it out. Now, I don't know if that's true. We've debated. We don't think it's true. Maybe after next week, it'll be true when there's a little more information, but they definitely can figure
it out. Don't think it's not true now.
All I know is there
people have said it's true, but the website that I've seen statistically, it's not true.
I saw, I think Observer came out with an article saying
and they said it's
true. They said they cracked it. So I don't know, maybe they did, but the point is that they're close enough to the point where you can't say it's impossible because everyone hopefully knows who could be their match, so maybe they can wise up a little bit and maybe get lucky a little bit, so they can win.
Like no, but the way that they're figuring this out, Brian, is not, oh, here's who I've matched with.
Right.
It's, oh, if Alex, I'm literally making things up randomly. If Brian and, you know, Joanne were matched in week 1 and then they were ruled out week 3 and then this person was matched week 3 and that, like, you have to play the weeks and the people who, like, fluidly, and you can't do that just based on knowing your match week to week with 8 angry people who can't even agree on who to throw into the truth booth.
I don't think they will win.
Not
I'm
eight,
saying
eight angry couples,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I don't think they will win. I wasn't even as optimistic they would win after last week. But to say they can't win, I think he's also going the other extreme. They can win. Like, they are halfway there. Like,
yeah, I mean, you
like
can win week one just by randomly getting matched up. Obviously. They have a lot of information. Yeah. I just don't, I mean, in fairness to them, like, I don't think that the way that they've received the information makes it possible for them to put this together strategically. I think maybe they can get lucky. I mean, to a certain extent, the cast got lucky last season.
And again, like I've been saying all year, like, they are not getting the help that season one got in a much harder season. And I think that means something. They don't get a double truth booth. They don't get an opportunity to send in whatever pair they want. And say what you will about the season one cast, but they were sucking just as bad as season two until they started getting their help. So there, I don't see a magic door opening in the maybe in the finale. That'll be the big twist that they get a shot at life and they get a double truth booth. But I don't see it happening, and that, I don't see them winning. I also
want to know if there were like certain rules that like Christina had to be in the matchups at certain point, like, because I just don't understand why they didn't figure out if Christina's left out and she gets the money if she stays out. Forget the truth booth. Let Christina fight it out with the truth booth.
Right.
But for the pure matchup, it benefits everyone in the house and it benefits Christina, except for the fact that Christina doesn't get information. But
I
would have liked to see that argument. I would have liked to see Christina saying, no, Brandon, if you like me, you pick me. We need this information, versus the house saying, strategically, you sit out. We learn just based on 10 people, and that's so much, or 10 couples, and that's so much easier.
And I would say that people would only want to pick her because they like her and they want to, you know, I don't want to say suck up, but I guess that, I don't know, suck up to her so that she would be with them. But the only really strong connection she had was with Brandon, and the only opportunity Brandon had to pick her was the first week. So after that, it's like, I think the mindset maybe of these people is that they're not giving Christine enough credit, that she won't understand the idea that I still like you, I'm just not going to pick you for this matchup ceremony, but I still like you, I still want to be into you, but just sit to the side for a little bit so we can try to win this game. I think people think that Christina, if she's not picked, she's going to be distraught.
Well, she should be distraught, because every time she doesn't get picked, that's one less time that she could then information to know who to go to the truth booth for.
I guess that's true, but
she said a lot of times, it's a race to the truth booth for me. I think she's played these guys. Like, it's not like she's made these genuine connections. Like, I think John and Nate and even Brandon somewhat, like, they all liked her more than she liked them. She was just trying to make as many connections as she could faster than anyone else so that she could find her match first and get the money and be here. And I respect her play. Like, I think you're almost not giving her enough credit for maybe what she, I mean, I'm assuming they all just kind of ignored the strategy of what they could have done with the 11th girl. But that said, I mean, she wanted to go into the truth booth. She wanted to get picked up matchup ceremony. She made pretty strategic connections with three very different guys that she tried to be into. Like, I think she played this one of the smartest girls in the house, especially for her unique situation.
Yeah.
And I don't think she would have taken that lying down. Like, John would have said, I'm picking someone else, you sit to the side, when he's competing against Brandon for her. I don't think so.
For her side of it, yes, absolutely. She had to play hard. She had to play like this, but these people is so frustrating.
I just don't think that she cared enough, and I'm not criticizing her for this. I think she understood how long they've been there, how much money was on the line. I don't think she had enough feelings for John or Nate or anyone else to warrant allowing still being in their relationship and not leveraging it and manipulating them to picking her and getting information.
It's amazing.
If she had to, this is all hypothetical.
It's amazing what one line, one like maybe little throw, I don't even know how many people picked up on this the way we are. The way this like kind of changed the course of the game. I don't know. Maybe everyone did. I don't know. But amazing, this one little line is just basically like twisted this entire show and like spit it out to be like a whole new show.
It's just as big, if not bigger, than them having an 11th girl to begin with. Like, I just don't understand how they air a show with different rules and then not try to cover it up and like air it the next episode 8. Okay, so unfortunately, Paris gets invited to talk after the five. They find out, I don't even know if we said this, that they have five beans. And somebody asks, wait, this is my favorite question of the week. Kristen Narr says, can you just rant a little more about how obnoxious the already matched couples, meaning mainly just Paris, are at the matchup ceremony? And Paris is screaming, we can't help you. Like, you have to understand. And I didn't write this down. This is just me scarred for life. So correct me if I over-exaggerate. But we can't help you. We're not here. It's our money. We can't help you. Pretty sure while in the house, Paris delayed finding her match for a week and almost sabotaged her and Pratt ever even going into the truth booth and being a perfect match. While Paris was in the house, she did literally nothing to help them. Her being out of the house is possibly more help than she offered while in the house.
Yeah, Paris, to be fair to Paris a little bit, she was asked the question, so she's going to spit it out or whatever, but she needs to just pipe down. Like, you don't hear Shelby or Curtis, like, spewing all this stuff at the match. She needs to just, like, be quiet a little bit and just
pipe down, Paris.
Yeah, pipe down. Pipe down.
Question from Jocelyn Ratzer. Do you think how things are going with the 11th girl, they will add an additional cast member next season? Do you think it was MTV's idea to put her in to make the game more difficult?
I mean, it was definitely MTV's idea.
But more so, do you think that they would continue this twist moving forward?
I think so. I don't think they'll go back to the original 10-10 match. I think they'll do it a lot. I think they, if this gets to a third season, I think they'll do an 11th guy. Actually, I hope they do an 11th guy next year to just see how that works out. But I think they'll definitely do this 11th person again. Hopefully they'll do it with different rules, though.
Or at least clear rules.
Or, yeah.
Mia Pia says, okay, so rumor has it that Jasmine leaked the matches online via Snapchat picture of the seating chart at the reunion. Other cast members tweeted pictures of different seating charts, clearly just to throw us off after this mistake. I do believe I had the matches prior to this, blah, blah, blah. And then, so basically she's saying that the throw-off pictures are a spoiler also because now we know the people paired up in those pictures can't be matches, so essentially it's still a spoiler. What do you think about this, and have you seen the tweets?
I saw them. I didn't, like, study them. I was kind of surprised once I first saw the seating charts. I'm like, what are they doing or something? But, yeah, that was interesting. I don't want to read too much into it because there probably is some hidden stuff in there, but I saw that and I was a little confused why that's on Twitter.
I'm not friends with any of them on whatever it is, Snapchat. So I didn't see it. Thank you for pointing this out to us. I thought it was just like Brianna. I saw Brianna's and I was like, why did Brianna tweet this? That's so dumb.
Yeah,
it's a spoiler. It clearly makes sense that they're all trying to cover it. I didn't see the original Snapchat, so I'm not spoiled. That's pretty lame, that happened. And then the last question for tonight, Andrew Kirk, to close us out. Out of the three couples that could have been the two additional lights, who is more likely to be the no match between Tyler and Brandon, Alex and Jasmine, and Dario and Ashley? My pick would be Brian Cohen preseason pick of Dario and Ashley. Sorry, dude.
So I actually went back and listened to the preseason thing just to, like, see where we were. I'm not even sure if I said Dario and Ashley. I don't remember where you first heard that, but I don't know if I did say Dario and Ashley, and I don't want to rain on my own.
Did I say Dario and Ashley?
No one said Dario.
No. I think what happened was at the end of the second one we did. Do we do girls first or guys? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
At the end of the second one we did, we just started making, like, random matches. Did you listen to that part?
That's what I listened to. And there were actually some really interesting pairings that we said. We could say that for a little bit another time. There were some. We did.
Finale podcast.
Yeah, we did get some things right, but I didn't hear Dario and Ashley. Maybe this was something we talked about off air.
I thought you said maybe Dario and Ashley, and I was like, I could see Dario and Ashley. I'll go back to the tape. Yeah. I trust you. You listened to it.
Lie and give myself credit, not take something away. But back to the original question, I think I still think Dario and Ashley are a match, even if I didn't say it. I think Brandon's with Brianna. I think that's the way Tyler's talking about Brandon, that, like, he's, like, a sensitive person. Tyler's more, like, strong build or whatever. But I think Brandon and Brianna are the match, so I'll say that those two aren't.
I don't know anything. So I'll just let you make the call.
Please, like, I know anything.
So we have one last question. I said last question, but this actually came from robhasawebsite.com. Mm-hmm. You can always comment on when we post the podcast, and we'll pull questions from there too. Style Z basically asked us, I hear a lot of people talking about how the ratings are low. Brianna mentioned it on our interview.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the ratings?
The deal with the ratings, it is not very good. So just for some, before I give you Ari the Wands rating, let me just offer a little bit of a comparison. So some of the other MTV shows. So Challenge Free Agents got just like an average. I looked at some of the averages. They were averaging for the viewership is like a 1.1 or for an 18 to 49 range is really the main rating stuff. This is all I know about ratings, but 18 to 49 year old is really the main stuff. And the Challenge Free Agents was getting like a 0.7. Now, Real World Explosion was getting about a 0.9. Last year's Are You the One was getting also about a 0.9. Now, we get to Are You the One, and they are getting a 0.33. So that is not very good. It's very tiny. Doesn't seem very good. I think our audience may be bigger than Are You the One Season 2.
So I have no idea what ratings mean. So I took a class with a professor at Northwestern who has become, I'm still in touch with, he went Hollywood on us and he now works in TV. He was a professor of television at Northwestern. And so he told me that a rating of less, just as a baseline, a rating of less than 0.4 means less than 450,000 people watch the episode within 24 hours of airing. And I know they do certain ratings where it's like plus three, like certain days after airing on DVR. But he said that lots of shows score in that range and survive on smaller nets, and that it's probably dirt cheap to produce, which I would have to agree based on watching it. But one interesting thing he says is, and this is just based on his industry knowledge, I can't confirm this, please correct us if we're wrong, is that MTV actually looks at the 12 to 34 ratings, which is the age of the people watching, whereas the rest of the industry prefers, like you were saying, the 18 to 49 year old ratings or 25 to 54. And that Are You the One's actually doing pretty well in 12 to 34.
That's true. I've been looking at it now. They got it there, a 0.7. So that's not bad.
So potentially based on its low cost compared to other shows on the air in that age range that they look at, which is unique, if that's true, they're not in that bad shape. Definitely worse than last year and worse than their sister shows, but not terrible.
What's funny is in the 50 plus, they're a 0.02. And I think my mom may make up the entire viewing audience. So, you're welcome for boosting the 50-year-old waiting MTV.
Yeah, with that, that's all I got. You got anything else?
That's all I got. For a hashtag, you've made it this far. I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. It's going to be hashtag juice, but spell the actual way juice is spelled. J-U-I-C-E.
I don't know how to spell juice anymore. I'm so conflicted.
That's the only way to spell juice. I don't know what Tyler's talking about. It's juice.
What a callback.
I tie everything together. Hour and 40 minutes, we tie everything together. But yeah, so that'll be the hashtag. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter, at BusDriversRoute. You can follow you.
At LashTweets.
You can subscribe at Rob has a podcast, robhasawebsite.com/challengeiTunes. And if you guys missed it, we interviewed Brianna last week, so you can check that out also. She gave us a lot of good stuff about the season. And then we'll be back next week. Only two more episodes, I believe, assuming it goes the full 10 weeks. Only two more left. And then the reunion. So next week, episode 9. So until then, have a good one, guys.